Proponents of an expansive welfare state also argue that relying on markets to ensure help for the poorest of the poor within a society is futile. Even in the rich countries, markets do not reach the very poor, who have too little income to afford health insurance, to rebuild their homes after a flood, or to pay the rent if they lose their jobs. Absent a safety net provided by the government, the poorest are left to fend for themselves and languish in miserable conditions. Second, markets do not actually provide the adequate protection attributed to them by their supporters. Only governments will provide unemployment insurance or recovery funds when major natural disasters strike. It is naive to assume that markets will offer the appropriate protection to those who need it under such unique and dire circumstances. The debate over economic security is like the debate about poverty, environment, and sustainable development. Because it is seldom tethered to the facts, the debate generates fierce heat, great rhetoric, and little resolution. In the case of social spending, much more is known and proved, and also disproved, than the protagonists of the debate either recognize or want to acknowledge. By turning directly to the evidence, we find that the choices faced by the rich countries are considerably less stark than America's free market ideologues pretend. Capitalism is not a fragile reed that will collapse with the slightest investments in social insurance. Capitalism is robust. It is possible to combine a high level of income, growth, and innovation with a high degree of social protection. The Nordic societies of Northern Europe have done it, and their experience sheds considerable light on the choices for others. The social welfare and free market strategies. Let us examine three kinds of capitalist societies. The first group is the social welfare states of Denmark, Finland, Norway, and Sweden. All of these countries maintain very extensive systems of social insurance and very high levels of social expenditure as a share of gross national product. The second group of countries includes the core European continental countries of the European Union: Austria, Belgium, France, Germany, Italy, and the Netherlands, although the Netherlands straddles both the European and the social welfare models. I will call these the mixed economies because they fall between the social welfare system and the free market system. The third group of countries includes the relatively free market countries: Australia, Canada, Ireland, New Zealand, the United Kingdom, and the United States. These countries tend to believe more in free markets and lower social insurance. They have much lower social spending as a share of GMP than do the mixed economics and the social welfare states. The free market countries have the smallest share of government spending, at roughly 38%. The mixed economies have about 49% government spending as a share of GMP, while the social welfare countries spend the most, at 52%. The key difference in overall levels of government spending is in the difference in levels of social spending as a share of GMP. Spending on social insurance. Public sector social outlays may be divided between cash transfers, direct government provision of services, and active labor market policies, for example, job training and government hires under public sector employment programs. Cash transfers include transfers to retirees, pensions, and survivor benefits, and cash transfers to working-age households. Government social services are divided between health and non-health services, such as child care and disability care. I will refer to the sum of the first two categories, cash transfers plus direct government provision of services, as direct public social outlays. These, plus spending on active labor market policies, equal total public sector outlays. We see that the social welfare states are distinctive not only in their overall high level of social expenditures, but also in their high direct provision of services. These directly provided services, such as child care and care for the elderly, are important not only for the services themselves, but also for the public employment positions they represent. The social welfare states have hired many otherwise hard-to-employ individuals, for example, with disabilities or low school performance, into the government social sectors in the past 20 years as part of their labor market strategy. Social spending and economic outcomes. The evidence suggests that the high social spending in the social welfare states is indeed very effective in reducing poverty and inequality and in promoting health and prosperity. There are three different measures of poverty in the three country groups: the poverty rate, the percentage of people living at less than half the average national household income, the share of disposable income after taxes received by the poorest 20% of the population, and the Gini coefficient on income, which measures how equally wealth is distributed across the country. 0 is perfectly equal, 100 is entirely unequal. The social welfare states outperform the other two groups across all three measures. The mixed economics of Europe are the next best. The average poverty rate in the social welfare states in 2004 was just 5.6% of households, compared with 9% in Europe and 12.6% in the free market countries. The United States, among the richest of all the countries in per capita GNP, also has the highest poverty rate by far, at 17.1% of households living on 50% or less than the average household income. Free market critics of the welfare state have long believed that high social spending, paid for by high rates of taxation, would be harmful to economic prosperity by reducing the incentives to hire workers and the incentives to save and invest. Yet these arguments are not supported by the evidence. The surprising fact is that the social welfare states have an even higher employment rate, number of workers as a share of the working-age population, than the free market countries. The free market countries, in turn, have a higher employment rate than the mixed economies. The key here is that the social welfare states have very high rates of female labor force participation. The social welfare system ensures daycare and schooling for the children, so mothers have the time and means to enter the labor market.